Great, so if you can see. And have another day, tell them this. Are you planning to preach a Mother's Day message? You can turn Proverbs 31. World has a contribution of women and especially mothers to society. Mothers play a vital role in children, especially in the formative years, growing and learning and developing. At least the way God has planned it, child will spend more time with her mother than anyone else. And obviously, our culture around us, there's a lot of working moms, so they take maternity leave and then they're off to work again. Child goes to the child care. And one of the guys that works for me, his wife is in the education system, and she works throughout the school year. And in order for them to keep their spot, child care, throughout the summer, they had to commit to having been there 2 days out of the week. So this child is going to continue going to the child care 2 days a week over the summer, even though the mom is available to take care of it. They're with the babysitter. But mothers develop a strong relationship with children, and even pardon men that have no desire to do what is right have a soft spot in their heart for their mother. Mother's influence directly is responsible for her children's choices in life. Napoleon once said, "Let France have good mothers, and they will have good sons." A good mom takes care of the child's physical and emotional needs, waking up with the baby, changing diapers, making meals, washing clothes, keeping the house clean. The list goes on and on. There's many moms like that in America today, many good moms, many moms that take great care of each other. But there's more to being a mom than that. There's the Bible talks about what virtuous looks like, a godly mother. And a godly mother is just as concerned about spiritual welfare of her family as she is about physical welfare of her family. Abraham Lincoln talked a lot about his mother. He said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." And another thing he said was, "The greatest lessons I have ever learned were my mother's needs. All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." He also said, "I remember my mother's prayers. They have followed me. They have pumped me all my life." And Abraham Lincoln rightfully attributed what he was to his, in part, to his mother. Godly mother's influence, no doubt, is one of the most important things in a Christian marriage. Many husbands would say that their wife faithfully standing beside them has been helped them to be able to keep their minds as they face the storm of life. And many Christian moms have spent hours interceding for children. God hears his prayers. And this morning, not just this morning, but especially today, we recognize and thank and honor our mothers for what they have contributed to our family. I'd like to just read a short story here that illustrates a little bit what moms are to him. the late Peter Marshall, the former chaplain in the United States Senate. That was a story. Once upon a time, a certain town grew up at the foot of a mountain range. To ensure that all the springs that supplied water were kept clean, the city council hired a ranger who lived high up in the hills. With painstaking dedication, he patrolled the hills, cleaning up every spring and pool he found, removing the silt, leaves, and mud so that the water ran down clear, cold, and pure. A dramatic change occurred, however, when a group of hard-headed businessmen took over the administration of the city council. They scanned the budget for any possible waste and then came to the conclusion that the salary of the keeper of the springs was a waste, especially since nobody ever saw what he did up there. To save money, the council fired him, and a reservoir was built just above the town. When the reservoir was finally built and filled with water, to the surprise of many, the town began experiencing no end of problems. The water tasted bad as the green scum befouled its stagnant surface. The delicate machinery of the mill was constantly clogged with slime. The swarms moved away from the town. To make things even worse, an epidemic broke out, bringing sickness and sorrow to practically everyone. In desperation, the city council met again. They acknowledged the blunder they had made in firing the keeper of the strings. They sought him out and begged him to return to his former job, which he gladly did. He began to make his rounds, cleaning up all the silt, mud, rotten leaves that had accumulated at the various springs and pools. It was not long before the sparkling, clean water began flowing again to all the homes in the town. The wheels of the mill turned again. The stench disappeared, the sickness flamed, the swans came back, and everybody was happy again. Peter Marshall explains that our mothers are the keepers of the springs of the family, the church, the community, and our society as a whole. Their work, like that of the ranger, is often unnoticed, and yet is indispensable to our well-being. Upon them rests the sacred calling of keeping the springs of our lives pure and clean, so that faith, love, integrity, and honesty may freely flow in our own lives and to others around us. Ultimately, their influence will help guide us to the eternal kingdom. And so, moms, if you're ever tempted to feel like your job is insignificant, think about the story about the spring and the mountain. So, one of the messages, the virtues of a Christian woman. And I have 5 points that I'm pulling out of Proverbs 31. And they're not points that you haven't heard before. But as I was preparing for this message, I struggled a little bit where to go with it. Thought of different women in the Bible that would have made great object or character studies and lessons we could have drawn from them. But I had to think about my work. And we have numerous employees, and Sometimes you can kind of get stuck in a rut and you just do what you do. And so it's good to just brush up on a little bit of what's my job description? Like, what am I expected to do? And so, moms, you won't hear anything that you haven't heard before this morning, but sometimes maybe it's Mother's Day is a perfect time to stop a little bit and think about what God expects. So we're going to read Proverbs 31, 10, the end of the chapter. Who can find a virtuous woman that her price is far above medium? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no use for her. She will do him good and not evil all days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and according to her maiden. She considereth the field and buyeth it, but the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out from her. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hand hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the floor. Yea, she reacheth with her hands to the knee. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her knowledge is good in this rock. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh wine on them and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto this merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is law of kindness. She looketh well in the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and all her blessed, for her husband also of the raised to heaven. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou hast sellest them. Vader is deceitful, and beauty of vain, though in the middle of glory she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, let them in her grace and grace. Like I say, I have 5 points, and at the end of each point, I have a question for you. And you might put really answer that question but yourself. So, write these questions down and ponder them. Number one, a Christian woman loves the Lord. And that's foundation. It all starts with a relationship with him. Verse 30 implies that the woman will choose between favor and beauty or fearing the Lord. And almost it implies like you can't have both. And I think what that's saying is it's natural for a woman to be concerned about what others think of her or what, you know, concerned about her loves. She wants to leave an impression. It's not quite so natural for a woman to lay that aside and be more concerned about what God thinks about her life than what others think. And I'm going to turn to 1 Peter 3. First 4 verses says, likewise, you wives, being subjected to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corrupt, take in the ornament of the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God. Great Christ. Here it's saying that a Christian woman's behavior, conversation, because of behavior, can be so powerful that God can use it to convert non-believers. And that a woman that is has a relationship with the Lord and allows that to show forth in her life has a great influence on those around her. And God, in this Proverbs 31, it mentions the price God puts on this woman that feareth the Lord. In verse 10, it says her price is far above it. God puts a high price tag on a woman that has a relationship with the Lord. Women truly apply to behave in a aggressive way that draws attention to themselves. When a woman has a relationship with God, we know this. Where does that attention go? God instead of herself. Also, part of fearing the Lord is accepting life as God allows. And that's part of fearing the Lord. We're trusting the Lord that He knows best and He allows things in our lives that sometimes aren't easy. When about 65, 70 years ago, my grandparents lived on the home farm. I think I might have told that story here before. And then the farm accident, and my 12-year-old uncle was killed. My dad's older brother. I think dad was about 4 at that time. And I had my dad's cousin talk about going and visiting my grandparents several days after it happened in the evening. And he tells a story how my grandma said, we know that the same hand that allowed this to happen could have prevented it. And you think through that a little bit, and isn't that a good way of looking? Like, you know, there's things in life that we don't understand. We really can't change it. And to be able to have the relationship with God and the trust in God that says, you know, he could keep this out of my life if he saw it was best. But sometimes the hard things in life just get harder if we go against them and try to come up with reasons why life isn't fair. My question to you is, are you a woman that cares more about what God thinks of you than what others think? And along with that, do you trust that God allows what is best to be done? The second point I have is a Christian woman loves and respects her husband. And it doesn't necessarily say that in that many words in this chapter, but it does say the heart of her husband does safely trust in her in verse 11. And verse 28, her husband also he prays for her. And that's a result of a woman that is loving and respecting her husband. But what is it? What does it mean when it says the heart of her husband does safely trust in her? A couple things it could mean. Husbands will have confidence in his wife that she will not belittle him or speak to others about his fault. I think a husband can trust his Christian wife.
Yeah.
Or that maybe there's an argument that she won't try to turn the children against him. He also has the confidence and the trust that she won't try to gain the approval of other men. It's right and proper to be reserved, but courteous and friendly to others, even other men. But a Christian wife knows that there is only one man in her life that she needs to do. And again, it comes back to this relationship with the Lord. If a woman has that relationship with the Lord, a relationship with the husband, that she can be confident and secure. Another thing that the husband can trust in is that they'll have the confidence that the household is in good hands and she's going to take responsibility for carrying that out. This chapter here in Proverbs 31 is clear that this is a virtuous woman will take ownership and take accountability, take responsibility rather. Her husband can trust that she will try her best to comply with his wishes. No one gets that. We'll have to dread her shopping trips and maybe the little human big debt and the checking calendar, big credit card bill. He'll trust her to use his skill. Can use money wise? So a virtuous woman, the love and adoration that she has for her husband will give him the inspiration and courage to face the pressures of life. There's a saying that we have behind every strong man is a strong woman, and yes, that's so true. In verse 23, it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth in the hours of the evening. Again, there's maybe several things that this could mean. But one of the things that I would like to bring out that a Christian woman is content to have her husband be known in the case. She's content to let her husband be the one that's out front and lead while she takes her place in the background. And even simple with her husband. That's the end. I think probably all of us have seen homes where the husband struggles to lead out and it can be a variety of reasons. Maybe a husband just simply isn't so much a leader. But I think there's also the possibility that there's plenty of homes that the husband doesn't lead because he's not able. And I think for a husband to be known in the gates, he has to have a wife beside him that allows him to be the leader. Maybe not just allows him to be the leader, but encourages him. I've seen marriages where a wife complains that a husband doesn't lead out, but in reality, if he would, there would be conflict because the wife doesn't submit. The question I have for you, and you fulfilling the role God has designed for you. Number three, a Christian woman fulfills her job as a housewife diligently. Being a housewife is probably harder than any of our jobs, guys. Going out and paying the bills, working hard to pay the bills. A housewife's job is we're done. It's 24/7. And today, it seems like things are, our culture is mixed up, and it seems like the measure of a woman's worth instead has changed to what kind of job she has and how successful she is in the business world. But this passage is clear that the virtuous woman is going to take seriously the job that is happening. For she stays busy. With 27, she eateth not the bread of idols. Verse 16 and 21. Consider the field and buy it. 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with snow. She uses good judgment and plans ahead. She works hard. Verse 13, 15, 17. Worketh willingly with her hands. She rises well as yet night. And I remember living at home and waking up in the morning and to the sound of stuff rattling in the kitchen. Getting up early with my dad, getting the day started. The question would be for you is, are you willingly fulfilling the responsibilities where God has called you? And sometimes, I'm sure as a housewife, sometimes it can be a little discouraging. Same jobs, day in, day out. Just never gets done. And when one job gets done, there's two others waiting. But again, God is a place, and God is a place where can we fulfill our responsibilities and call us. Number four, a Christian woman loves her children. Right? You remember the story of the two women that brought the baby to King Solomon. And Solomon made a call to provide the baby, and whoever's, the mother that protested against that, that's her baby. And it demonstrated the deep love that a mom had for her baby. She was willing to give that child up to someone else, right? Have the child. Mother's love for her children runs deep, but a Christian mother's love is concerned takes it to a deeper level. 1 John 3:4 talks about, says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And a Christian mother is concerned about the choices that her children make. This passage doesn't specifically mention a mother's love, but it's full of embodiment about mother's love and how she's caring for her family. She selflessly puts the needs of her family before her own. But he rises also well as yet not. She was foregoing the sleep, I'm sure, that she wishes she could have many times to provide and to meet her family's needs. She meets the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of her children, keeping them fed and clothed. A mother plays a huge role in a child's development, reading books and being a teacher 24/7. How much of who a child is depends on where a mother's input. Are you meeting with your future? What will be the fruit of the input you are? Number 5, a Christian woman lives with good advice. In verse 20, it says, she stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches with her hand. She is sympathetic to those less fortunate. Selflessly gives to those in need, especially those who can't repay. And that's a true measure. Jesus talked about that when he was here on this earth. He talked about that when he accused the Pharisees of giving to those that can give back. But what about giving to those that need to give back? She looks for ways that she can gain encouragement. 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And a lot of times, if you think about maybe your mom or your mom or others that have been encouragement, it's not so much maybe what they did to you, what they said to you. And a virtuous woman looks for ways in which she can be an encouragement to others. And that being an encouragement to others requires taking the focus off of ourselves. You have an inspiration, encouragement. So being a virtuous woman doesn't happen by evil. In other words, it's a lot easier. This passage right here talks about a woman that is consciously making a choice to make it sin. Because we know enough about life that the easiest thing to do is always just let life happen as it happens. Focus on me, focus on myself. It's natural to look at ourselves. To focus on what makes us happier than us. To not put the effort into that it takes into keeping house, raising a family, and doing it well. And also the easiest thing is to leave our relationship with Christ on the back seat. But for those who claim God's power and practice the discipline, live Proverbs 31, it's very clear that the rewards are great. It's clear that God is pleased with this. A virtuous one will have her husband's trust, love, confidence, and in verse 28, it talks about her children rise up and fall in the west. And she has her children's respect, love, and admiration, and the satisfaction of fulfillment knowing that she is a positive impact on the city. So as we spend today, maybe a little more than some time focused on our moms or wives, our mother, let's just make sure that we appreciate what they do, that we commend them, not just today, but make sure they can feel our appreciation. And moms, just remember to take a look at Proverbs 31. And look at what this chapter talks about, what the expectations are, what God's goal is for you as a wife and a family. And that's we thank you for your contribution. May God bless you.